Well, thank you, Greg and team, for those worship songs. And Greg, so much appreciate your leading today on this difficult week. Perhaps the hardest week of your life, or one of the hardest. Greg's mom passed away into eternity this week. And Greg, I was thinking, she normally sat right there in the row that's empty today, but her spirit, we remember her today and the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so thank you that these worship songs that you led us, and I trust that God is ministering to you this day. So thank you, Greg. Kind of puts a new slant on eternity, right? And you're thinking about Jerry, who always sat there and is no longer with us. It just means what we're doing and who we are is just so crucial, right? That we connect with this God who loves us, and that we continue to grow as Christ followers. And more than half of you are doing the Practicing the Way course that we're working through. And as I've been asking people who are taking the course, why did you sign up for the course? What are you getting out of the course? And I've gotten responses like, well, I want to know what God wants me to do. Or I want to know God's will for my life. Or I'm today years old. I'm 38 years old, 58 years old, 78 years old, and what is God's purpose and plan for me? I want to grow. Am I hearing his voice? We all have questions for God. We wonder about his plan and his purposes. And Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet. He was a person like us who had his questions for God. We don't know much about this dude. He was like, you can read the three short chapters in the Old Testament, 5 to 10 minutes it might take you to read them, and that's all we know about Habakkuk. But he asks a number of questions of God. Let me read a few of them. Habakkuk chapter 1. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Perhaps that's the same question you've got. Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? So he asks a whole bunch of these questions that all relate to the injustice that is in our world. He goes on to ask some more questions. Lord, are you not from everlasting? Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? So in this latter half of chapter 1, he's asking questions around why the Babylons, and why are we suffering so much? Why are you using them to mete out judgment upon us? It just doesn't seem fair, God. It just doesn't seem right. And then in Habakkuk chapter 2, we read these words. Why don't we stick it up on the screen there, Mark? Let's read it together. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on the tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. So Habakkuk, he's got these questions for God as he looks across his world and sees the brokenness, sees the injustice. And we have our questions for God as we look across our region, lower mainland, or across our country, or across our world. We see injustice. We see unfairness. We look at a place like Eswatini and what has happened there. And we say, why God? And then God asks us, well, what can you do in response. We're going to talk about Habakkuk in a few more minutes, but we want to talk about Heart for Africa first. So I'm wondering if we can play the video, Mission of Hope.
Here in Eswatini, people greet each other by saying, Sawubona, which means, I see you. And the response typically is Yebo, which means, yes, I see you. And I love that. I love that it means, I see you, because that's what we want. We want for people to feel seen.
Yebo!
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 In Eswatini, there's an enormous amount of problems. We're facing things like people that are starving to death every day, orphans that are being dumped and abandoned, people who are looking for jobs, and children who don't have an opportunity to learn because the education isn't available to them.
What we are seeing these days are even the high rate of crime because their problems are not being attended to. That increases the burden on having a lot of children. They don't have food, they don't have parents.
Because of the HIV and AIDS pandemic, wiping out a whole generation of parents. More than half of the total population is estimated to be an orphaned or vulnerable child. That's hard for us because we have to continue building schools and building homes to catch them.
We have poured resources into to try to address these issues. And we are through Project Canaan and Heart for Africa.
Heart for Africa are making a difference in so many people's lives.
More employees, more students, more babies, more opportunities for people to participate in this call. We talk about fighting hunger, caring for orphans, decreasing poverty, and providing education.
All right, Heart for Africa team, come on up here. Okay. let me hand you the mic there, Carol. And so this morning, we want to commission our Heart for Africa team as they head off to Eswatini. And so I want to ask them a few questions this morning. So why don't I begin with you, Carol? You've been going since 2016. What keeps you going back there?
So first off, thank you for this opportunity. And thank you to our Grace Point family for your support. People have asked me that question many times, sometimes not very politely. They'll say, why do you go to Africa? We have needy and starving children right here in Surrey. And so my simple answer is, not to them, but in my heart, is because God called me there. Mm. Since you've asked us this, I've really thought about our journey and how we sort of got there. And I said to Pastor Rick, I wouldn't have chosen Africa for myself. We love to travel, and Africa was on my bucket list, but I never saw myself doing missionary work or the type of work that we do. Up until 2016, we volunteered for a number of charities locally. Barry even went on a UN mission, and I thought that was great for him, but that wasn't me. And so when one of my friends asked us to go and started to share, she's a cousin of Janine and Ian, I said yes, but I didn't really know what I was saying yes to. And so in my mind, I thought, we'll go on a trip, we'll add on a safari, I'll see some giraffes and lions, and then I can sort of check that off my bucket list. But God had an entirely different plan for us. As we share our story, I want our Grace Point family to remember two things. Barry and I, a police officer and a lawyer, think very analytically. Things, the dots all have to connect, and we need to see the vision. The concept of just trusting God is pretty hard for us. I said to our D group this past weekend, and I know this sounds crazy, but being a lawyer, I actually negotiate and bargain with God. I know, like, who am I to negotiate with God? I'm sure he's up, chuckles at me and goes, there goes Carol again. But that's who I am. And so it's really hard to sort of, if I don't see the whole vision, it's hard for me to just take that first step. The scripture that God has really planted on my heart now and is revealing to me very passionately sort of how we've got to this journey is Luke 9:23, which I think will be up on the screen. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Chuck Swindoll describes the passage as a three-step process. We must listen and obey. We must deny and surrender our own desires, and we must trust and follow him. So now back to our journey, and I want you to think about that scripture. In June of 2016, we were sitting in a service. I know exactly where I was sitting. Pastor Steve, and I told him this morning I would bring it up. I said, I'm sure you don't remember because it was many years ago, but I know exactly where we were sitting. It was similar to the message today. God's calling all of us to be disciples. And Pastor Steve's question was, he said, I want to take some time of contemplation and I want everyone to pray about what's God calling you to do. And I heard three very clear words. It was build a school. I had no idea. I was contemplating our trip for Africa. We knew we were already going. I had no idea what that meant, what that vision was, but I was clear that I had heard those words. Now, also as a lawyer, I have to do things quickly or I fall back into starting to negotiate with God. Is that really what you said? Is that, but. And so I immediately left the service, went back to my desk at home, and sent an email to the our Heart for Africa director in the United States, who didn't know me at the time, and said, I'm truly not this crazy Canadian woman, but I really feel that God is calling us to help you build a school. I have no idea what that means or how we get there, but that's what I feel is happening. And the next morning, as he got at his desk, he immediately emailed me back and said, this is an answer to prayer. Just last week, our funding for the school in the United States that was going to sponsor the school had fallen through. And that was all the confirmation I needed. Mm. I heard from God. I had a confirmation. And I was like, okay, then that's what we're going to do. So I went back to my staff. This is June of 2016. We're leaving in October. And said, had a staff meeting that the next day and said, so I need all of you to help me do this fundraiser. We're going to do it in September, and we need to raise about $85,000 to build a school in Africa. You can imagine the looks I got. My very, very, very practical paralegal said to me, you realize that's 3 months away, and two of those are July and August when people are on vacation. I was like, yeah, I know that, but God's going to find a way. And so off we went. Many of you were at that event. You know we raised the money, mm-hmm. and the school was ready to be built. So again, back to my negotiating with God, I thought we would do one trip, the bricks would arrive, Barry would help the Swazi men get the structure built, we'd complete grade one, and I'd be like, okay, God, check. I did what you asked. I built the school. Mm-hmm. But again, God had a different plan. Once we were there, we obviously fell in love with the children. I'm going to share some of their stories. And the day before we were leaving, Barry and I were sitting on the children's campus watching them play. And I said to Barry, I don't know what the plan is, but I sense God is calling us for much, much more. And the very next day, so our driver was about to arrive and we were to leave the property, Janine said, Carol, can I just have a moment with you? And I said, sure. And she said, I feel God's calling me to invite you to our board of directors. Back to my confirmation. And I didn't even have to think about it. I instantly then connected the dots and saw the vision. Now, if God had said to me, when he said, build a school, Carol, I need you to raise $1 million over the next 8 years. You're going to travel to Africa 10 times. I would have said no. Mm. But God gave me it in the baby steps that I needed, that he knew I could handle, to then take one trip at a time. Every time when it's coming to the end of our trip, the children always ask, the aunties ask, the teachers ask, Auntie Carol, when are you coming back? And I said, you know my answer. I'll be back sometime next year when God's calling me back, and at his perfect time, I'll be back. And so each time something comes up or some event that the children are having comes up, and I know it's time to go back.
Thank you, Carol, for sharing that. I think there's probably a little bit of lawyer in each of us, right? In terms of the negotiating with God, I think we can all relate to that. Yes, thank you. Now, Donna, this is your first trip. What's prompting you to go?
What wouldn't? I mean, really. It's not for everyone. And I consider myself very blessed that I can go. And as Carol mentioned, I think it's wonderful that, especially practicing the way right now, you know, in my mind's eye, I try to do good and eliminate injustice here at home. I try to do it in a Canadian way or North America. I use my finances to support various charities. And I'm blessed to be able to go internationally. As most of you know, I do fly overseas, and I do have the opportunity to enjoy the reduced rates of flying, which enables me to go. So, I pray that God uses my gifts that I have, and I know there's always a skeptic in every single one of us, and I took my skepticism back in 2016 to go to Ghana, where one of my support children's for Compassion Canada is, and I was blown away by the love and support that I received. I thought, I'm going to go and be a blessing. Oh, wow. You are so blessed when you go. And that was one of the words, you know, Pastor Rick asked us, you know, what's the Bible verse, you know, that's come to mind? And I just kept thinking, it came across my synapses, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And when we met with him, he goes, oh, yeah, that's Genesis, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, okay, I need to read my Bible more. And then he also put on our page, he says, yeah, you know, God said to me, we're going to talk about Habakkuk. And Carol and I looked at each other cross-eyed and said, Habakkuk? I need to read my Bible more. And part of my spiritual disciplines with practicing the way, and thank you, Rick, it was a real great rabbit hole to go and read as many versions of Habakkuk that I could. And it is just three small chapters. And I was raised a Catholic, so having the opportunity to read different versions of the Bible has been a blessing for me. I grew up with King James. I never even knew there were other Bible verses. But my main takeaway from Habakkuk, and thank you for not having us have to preach on him,
okay,
was basically trust the Lord no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, he was really worried about what God was going to do to Judah at the time. And, you know, his main takeaway was, okay, I can trust in God. So I listened to Bible verses. I read Bible verses. I listened to podcasts. And initially I thought, okay, my Bible verse was sort of Matthew Beatitudes, you know, you want to be the salt and the light of the earth kind of thing. And then I went into the Old Testament, hearing more podcasts, and Isaiah 42 tells me he will bring justice to all who have been wronged. And then 2 Corinthians brought me to walk by faith, not by sight. And then I went on and listened to another podcast. And a woman was being interviewed that was writing an incredible book on Nehemiah. And I just want to share my takeaways with that. I want to be a part of rebuilding the walls of justice, to walk alongside the oppressed, and to be an encouragement. I want to be faithful, to ask God where I can be his hands on earth. I want to pray and hear what God is calling us to do, and I can't do this with my own strength. I want to embrace the diversity and strengthen our souls. Our actions speak volumes. I need to step out in my faith. I need to be relational as well as do the work of God. To try to repair what is broken, what can I do to make things right? I need to be a reflection of my sincerity. And so in a nutshell then, the Bible verse, if you want to put it up, that I came to embrace for this. Hang on, I got to pull it up because my memory is not as good. That's not my strength. My Bible verse is Micah 6:8, and I think you probably see the NIV version up there. But what really hit home for me was Eugene Peterson. I'm a big message follower. I like his interpretation of the Bible. And so Micah 6:8 says, but he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in a nutshell, that's why I'm going, because I can. And, I pray that each and every one of you, if you are practicing the way, dive deeper. And there's always more things to learn. And thank you, Rick, for introducing Habakkuk for us, because it really stretched me to go deeper into the Bible. And I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna, how the Bible is shaping you and informing you and guiding you. What about you, Barry? Are you going because Carol's making you go?
I didn't have a choice.
No, I've always, as a policeman, I've always enjoyed working with seniors and children and youth. So having the opportunity of going there, we do community visits. So as we go to the community and we do a homestead visit, I go to this one location and there's a senior there living all by himself. So through interacting with him and as we give him some food, face just
I need you to keep the microphone.
There we go. And, you know, when he saw the food, his face just lit up and it was all smiles. So, you know, he had the food, but before he had any food, he prayed over it while we were there and prayed for us on our journey. So It was really special to see that from him. And so we keep going back and try to make a little difference.
Okay, thank you, Barry. You can pass that to Carol. Carol, you've been now 9 or 10 times. Do you got maybe a couple stories for us out of your memory that you could share with us?
So we were told that we couldn't keep you here till 12 or 1. So you can imagine that in a country, you saw in the video, that in a country of slightly more than 1 million people, about 200,000 are orphaned or abandoned children. Some homesteads, there may be a 12-year-old that's trying to raise 3 or 4 or 5 of her younger siblings. Eswatini has the highest incidence per capita of HIV and other illnesses. TB is actually quite severe. Because of the poverty, the hospital systems aren't great. They often don't have medications. And so the children that we receive come in horrific scenarios. I mean, I can honestly say that each of the 425 children are a walking, talking miracle. So it was hard to pick two stories. What moved my heart was when I kept watching that video. And as you see his pictures, you probably see the little boy, one of the little boys saying Yebo was Jonathan. And so in 2017, when I went back, we received a telephone call about a baby boy that was severely malnourished. When we actually showed up to pick Jonathan, and you can see in the bottom left corner the picture, he was in fact a 2-year-old, and he only weighed 14 pounds. You can see that he was extremely ill. He could not sit, he could not stand, he wasn't mobile at all. We were told by the doctors that his HIV and TB rates were ones, even in their observations, that they had never seen before. So a few days after Jonathan arrived, we were told that he needed to go back to the hospital. And I still remember the day, and a number of us women, the aunties, the other volunteers were there. We laid hands on Jonathan. And when he arrived, Janine sent us a message back and said, the doctors have said that without a miracle, Jonathan probably won't make it through the night. And you can see the little picture of him. Each of the children have get all dressed up for their birthdays. And so that is Jonathan at his 9th birthday. He is still very tiny, but he is a happy, happy boy. He exudes joy. He loves to pray. And he's just such a happy boy. The next boy that I want to share with you is Ben. Ben has an equally sad story. Ben was severely beaten by his father. He was, in fact, set on fire by his father, who later became incarcerated. Ben was hospitalized for over 60 days, recovering from third-degree burns over his body. He had to have several surgeries and skin grafts, and when Ben was able to be released from the hospital, he came home to Project Canaan. Ben has just turned 13 years old. He's one of our oldest boys, and he loves, as you can see in the photos, to take care of his younger brothers and sisters. He's always following me around and saying, Auntie Carol, are you going to the baby home? Can I come? Can I come? Another fact, Ben is an excellent student. You can see the bigger picture. Just this year, the group of teachers have decided to put in place a volunteer sort of proctor, they call it, but there's four leaders of the school, and Ben was chosen out of 300 students to be one of our four leaders for Project Canaan Academy. And last year, Ben told me that he wants to be a nurse or a teacher when he grows up so he can help take care of little babies. And as I said, they are just two examples of over 425 children that came from horrific circumstances, but now, and Dawn, I'm so excited to share them with you, will they exude hope and joy. You see their photographs and you don't, I have to remind myself, and as I'm walking across the property, God will sort of reveal to me our little Deborah, that Deborah was burned. Like, I see where they came from, but you don't see that. God has healed them of that. And they just exude such joy. The last story I want to share with you is really a shout out to our women's ministry and all of you that today I see lots of bags showing up and clothes that you bring. Those of you that are parents or grandparents, I want you to visualize the amount of clothes it must take to clothe 425 children. They all only have a couple of outfits, two pairs of pajamas, but it still takes a lot of clothes. And I loved the saying about a village, because that's been Janine's motto for a long time, that it takes a village. And Grace Point Church, you are part of our village with whatever you do.
Thank you.
The two bottom photos, and I know they're small, but we just shipped our third container and it arrived about 2 weeks ago. It's the aunties counting all of the clothes and soccer cleats and things that we sent. And we sent over 15,000 items of children's clothing. That isn't the adult clothing. So our women's ministry decided that we had a vision. And so we decided we were going to do this clothing exchange and bless the women of Grace Point, some of our friends. So once a year we have an evening, all of us clean out our closets. You know that saying, my trash may be someone else's treasure. Someone said to me today they'd outgrown a few items. Whatever it may be, when we clean out our closets, there are others that we can bless with those items. And so we've done that 2 years in a row now. We do the exchange, and all of the clothing that's left over goes over to Heart for Africa. And so the other photos are last December when Barry and I were there. Once a year, they get to go into our warehouse and pick out 10 clothing items so they can pick out all for themselves. The teachers were picking out clothing items for themselves, for their children, for other family members. And so I remember Janine calling me going, where are you? We have a meeting. And I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Barry and I are down at the distribution center, and we were just sort of sitting in the joy. And so some women had tears in their eyes. Some women were laughing and trying things on.
Wow.
And some were dancing because they had this opportunity to pick items for themselves, pick other clothing items for their family. And so I say to our women's ministry and all of you that have brought clothing items, again, that small step is maybe all that God's calling you to do, bringing a piece of clothing today because you saw the email, and yet it brings such joy to both our women and our male staff by what we bring for them. Mm. So it was just an incredible joy.
Beautiful. Why don't you pass the microphone to Donna? Donna, just hearing those stories and, yeah, the responses, how do you react to that?
I'm speechless, really. We have no idea. You know, we just think, oh, it's just, I don't wear that anymore, and you just sort of throw it aside. But you know what? It goes somewhere. And you, and like Carol said, the joy on people's faces, just, you can't explain how wonderful it is. But every little thing, think about what you can do here at home. You know, like we had Pastor Natalie up here talking about, you know, our Sunday night dinner. If, you know, can spare a couple hours on your Sunday night, come on out and maybe help with the kitchen team or come sit with some people in the community and just listen. You know, it's amazing how much of a blessing you can be. Just, people just need to be heard sometimes. I think what you can do in your community, you know, go to schools and read to elementary school or have children read to you and help them learn to read. There's a big need in our community right here. So, yeah, just be Christ in your community. You know, we're practicing the way and you know, talk, that's fine. Actions. Do what you can. You know, it's in your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And I know, don't ignore those promptings. Because you'll be rewarded vastly by following through. And yeah, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you today and every day. So thank you.
Donna, maybe just to hang on to the mic there. How can we pray for you? Specifically, how would you like your Grace Point family to pray for you?
You know, with everything, it's always the journey, the passage of getting there. You know, the logistics, the getting to the airport, getting on the plane, getting those bags checked. You know, we've each got a couple, I call them Winnebagos, you know, those big bags. And then you have to transfer them to another airline. All those little tiny steps. Just pray to, I have peace in my heart that everything will go smoothly and I'll arrive there. And I know for a fact, my heart is open and willing to embrace as many children and listen to as many children as possible. So the journey, pray for my journey.
We'll pray for you in that regard. Barry, can I ask you the same question? How can we as a church family be praying for you?
Oh, sorry. Yes, just praying for the children and guiding us, your prayers will be guiding us to do something special for the children and the seniors and the people in the homesteads.
Okay, yes, we'll do that. And Carol, maybe just a little different for you. How can we all be involved in this? You know, so it's not just you guys and then the rest of us, but it's collectively us involved in this mission.
Yeah, thank you. So first, again, I want to come back to a praise report and a thank you for all of you that have stood with us, believed in God's vision for what he's doing in Eswatini. We couldn't have done this without a village. So we have a small gift for anybody that's participated in one of our fundraisers, brought items, or would like to donate today. So you can see if the school picture, there we go. So when we first arrived up in the upper corner, the blue buildings, the only thing that existed was the kindergarten building when we arrived in 2016. All of the orange or peachy colored buildings did not exist. And those have all been built with our village since 2016. In the past 8 years, we're here to celebrate the completion of the primary school. So thank you, Grace Point family, for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So back to my point about God's not finished yet. So we are about, in 2025, we will start building the high school. And now it's not so scary for me. So some other opportunities. We're planning a trip in 2025. I know that there's some people that have said they might come. So that's an opportunity, collecting clothes, helping us send clothes. As I said, we have a really exciting student sponsorship program, and we just had a matching donor agree to match all donations. So if you're led to help us or to take on a student sponsorship in any amount, obviously we would love that. We're sending our next container in 2025. So this next photo, I was sort of waiting for that to pop up, is a really great example of what we've been talking about this morning as to the small steps and trusting God in the small steps. So Ken and Brenda Rice, as many of you know, are huge supporters of Heart for Africa. God has still not found the perfect time for them to come, although I keep prompting Brenda. And I know in God's perfect timing, they will come. But Brenda buys clothes for the children. And in particular, this story in relation to the books. So Brenda buys lots of Janine's books called Hope Lives Here. Talks all about Project Canaan. And just this week, Ken and Brenda shared with me that they pray over the books and ask God to lead them who they should give them to. And so they give them out all across the world in their travels. And so one of the stories that connects to this photo is Ken and Brenda gave the book out to a friend. That friend read the book and then gave it to a friend. And that friend happens to be a local dentist, Dr. Kennedy, his wife Catherine, and their grandson Mason. Dr. Kennedy read the book, was enthused about the book, and decided he wanted to hear Janine speak. And those of you that remember, she was here last October and spoke at our church. They attended. He came up after and spoke to Ian. Didn't have to think about it. He said, Yebo. He said, I want to do... he's getting on in his career, and he said to me after, I think I have one or two more mission trips in me. And so they went, said Yebo. They went on their trip in July of this year. Dr. Kennedy worked really, really long hours. We have a small sort of dental part of our medical clinic, and some U.S. dentists had set up a very small dental clinic. But because of the pandemic, there had been no dentists there for 3 years. And so I just love the picture of the gentleman with the big, big smile. I don't look like that when I go to the dentist. But the joy in what Dr. Kennedy could do by providing treatment. Now, the story doesn't end there. So Dr. Kennedy, you'll see him standing with our nurse. Nurse Anthony is from Kenya. And Dr. Kennedy has now taught Nurse Anthony how to do fillings. And you can see the photo of now Nurse Anthony doing fillings for the children. Yeah. And so, again, back to sort of that vision. God didn't say to Ken and Brenda, if you give this book to this person, they'll give it to this person, who will then go over and teach the nurse how to do fillings for the children. But those are the steps that, as Donna said, I truly believe that God is calling each and every one of us. I know it's not everyone can go to Africa. That's not what God's calling everyone to do. But I truly believe he's calling everyone to do something and be his disciple, whether it's, as Pastor Natalie said, helping out with community dinners. I just loved, as I was walking around this morning, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name, the gentleman that was playing harmonica. I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. But I truly believe those small baby steps are the things that God's calling all of us to do. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Grace Point family.
Yeah, that is awesome. Ken and Brenda, why don't you guys come on up here? And Pastor Steve, come on up here. Why don't we stand and let's stretch out our hands to our Heart for Africa team. And Ken and Brenda, if you want to come up here. And where's the microphone? There it is. Yeah, great. I'll pass this to, come on up here. Just move forward a little bit so they can gather behind you and lay their hands on. And Ken, I'll give you the mic there, and when you feel the time is right, you go ahead and pray forth. So let's commission our team going to Africa.
We do praise you, Lord, for these three and their servants' hearts. For you, Lord, said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Hmm. We thank you for that. Yes, we do pray for safe travel to Eswatini and back. Mm-hmm. It's not a small trip. And we pray that they would be a blessing of encouragement to those at Eswatini, not only would they be a blessing and encouragement, but you will bless them in return for the
for the things they see that you have done. Mm-hmm. We just bless you three. Go safely.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give them a hand. Thank you very much, team. Okay, why don't I just spend a couple minutes talking here about Habakkuk, right? Kind of wrapping things up and just thinking about what you and I can say yay about too. So Carol, maybe we're going to watch a one-minute video with the word yaybo in. What does yaybo mean?
You saw in the video, the greeting, in Swazi culture, as in many, I think we've kind of lost that in North America. We're just such a busy crowd community. But in Swazi, the greeting and how we greet one another is really, really important to them. So the greeting, as we heard, is Sawabona, I see you. And the response is Yebo, which is yes, I see you back. I think of it as even bigger than, yes, I see you, Pastor Rick. Mm-hmm. I also use it in the context of me saying yebo to God. Yes, I hear you, yebo, I will go. And him saying the same back to us. When we say yes, he's saying yebo, I see you. Mm-hmm. So it's many things,
yes.
But really, yes, I see you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that.
So this is a video that was done for the children. It's their theme or their anthem song as to Yebo. The words are on the bottom of the screen, and I would just really encourage you to read them because they're just so meaningful.
What does that look like for you to say yebo to God? Is fear or something else holding you back? Maybe like Habakkuk, you've got your questions for God and you're wondering about things. Just quickly, a couple things that we see with Habakkuk. He says, after he's got all his questions in chapter one, then he says, I will stand at my watch. Or the NLT says, I will climb up to my watchtower. That to me speaks of going to a place of solitude. You know, where is your place of solitude? For Habakkuk, it was going up on the wall, being at his watch. You know, we live in this age of distraction where it's very difficult for us to have alone time, solitude with God, because we're constantly tethered to devices and our phones. But what would it look like for you on a daily or weekly rhythm to just have your own place where you commune with your Father? Luke 5:17 says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He often withdrew in spite of all the demands, and you can just imagine the crowds pressing on Jesus for healing and for deliverance and for teaching, and yet he often withdrew. So much more you and I need to do the same. I recognize we're all at differing stages and seasons in life in that regard, you know, and it's how we do that. But I think of this lady, Susanna Wesley. You know, she had 18 kids. You can imagine, you know, and what makes her famous, Susanna Wesley, is her boys, you know. Charles Wesley wrote many hymns and, you know, Christmas carols, and her other son, John Wesley, began the what we now call the Methodist denomination. Yet with these 18 kids running around her home, in the afternoon, she would sit down in a chair, she'd take her apron, and she'd flip it over her head and have 1 hour of solitude in the midst of this bedlam of 18 kids, you know? And I just think, wow, if that mom could do that, you and I can also find a way to do that also, right? To withdraw. Secondly, I see here to wait. That Habakkuk says, I will stand at my guard post. Or the NIV says, I will station myself at the ramparts. Now, the ramparts were the walls. And he stationed himself. And that word station there means to be still, to not move, to stay put. God speaks to the person who is still, right? Who waits, who listens, who in the midst of our fast-paced society says, I'm going to withdraw and I'm going to wait. I'm going to listen to God. And then thirdly, he says, I will look to see what he will say to me. I will look to see what he will say to me, which is quite interesting. He's got his questions. He's, has these laments to God. And then he doesn't say, well, I will listen for what God will say, but rather I will look to see what God will say. How many have ever worn a WWJD bracelet? What would Jesus do? Yeah, okay, some of us did that. You know, perhaps a more important question is WIJD. What is Jesus doing? Because God is always at work, and we join God in what he is doing. If you and I are going to say yebo to God, say yes to him, we've got to watch. What is God up to in our world, all around us? So let's be those people, to use Jesus' words there in Luke 8, to watch and pray. See what God is doing. As Paul writes in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Those spiritual eyes. And then the last thing I see in the book of Habakkuk, it starts kind of bleakly with all his questions, but then it ends with these words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as the deer and brings me safely over the mountains. These words of hope, assurance, of worship in the midst of all his lamenting. And we read chapter 2, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. So why don't we just kind of end in that way? Rather than doing a song, Greg, let's just end with a time of silence. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the people of Grace Point be silent before him. You know, 27 years ago, a woman named Dorothea was sitting somewhere over there where Ernie and Marie are, and God spoke to her and said, feed my people. And we've been doing the community dinner for 27 years, and you just heard from Pastor Natalie about that. 2017, a woman named Carol was sitting probably somewhere in this section too, and heard three words, build a school. Wow, we're on a theme here, three words, eh? Maybe God will say three words to you today or this week. Or maybe he'll bring a picture into your mind, what he is calling you to. Let's be silent before him now. Speak, Lord, to your dear people gathered here. Oh, Jesus, you say that you are the good shepherd and we, your people, are the sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. So we desire, as a church family, to be a people who hear you, who listen, and who obey, doing what you call us to do. And so we have a posture of readiness, willingness, openness to what you have for us. Whether across the street or across the world, we want to be the people who follow you. Thank you that you have spoken and you continue to speak to your people. In your name I pray, amen. Well, dear church family, if you would like prayer this morning, our prayer team would love to pray for you. Otherwise, we've got some snacks out there in the lobby. Feel free to visit the Heart for Africa table to learn a little more. And this week, go with that posture of waiting, watching, withdrawing from society, ready to hear from your Lord. Amen.